Duryodhan, the son of Dhritarashtra, had a marriageable daughter by the name of Lakshmana. Besides her beauty, she had many other good qualities. Therefore, many princes were most eager to take her hand in marriage. In such cases, a Svayamvara ceremony is held so that the potential bride can select the husband of her choice. In Lakshmana's Svayamvara ceremony, the assembly was graced by Samba, a son of Lord Krishna. He was, like all the other sons of the Lord, as exalted as his great father. Samba was extremely eager to have Lakshmana as his wife. To prove his valor and to win the hand of the one he loved, Samba forcibly took Lakshmana from the assembly and rode off with her on his chariot.
What's he doing?
The audacity!
That isn't
Why
right.
Why is no one stopping him?
Bhishma, Vidura, Ujjahan, Arjuna, and all the other members of the Kuru dynasty were incensed with rage.
Despite having a Svayamvara, Samba just took her by force!
He should be punished for this behavior.
It's improper! She should have been given the chance to choose her own husband!
Yes.
Arrest him!
Certainly!
According to the Vedic system, having once been alone with a man, a girl cannot be married to anyone else. Nor would anyone wish to marry such a girl.
The Yadus will be furious. They'll surely launch an attack after we capture him.
Even if they did, what could they do?
The kings of the Kurus are the emperors, whereas the kings of the Yadus only live on borrowed lands, rightfully ours.
Anyway, even if they do challenge us, we shall accept the fight.
Who will lead the party? Kana?
Kana? Good choice.
Let us go!
In this way, accompanied by the great Bhishmadev, Duryodhan, Shala, Burishrava, and Yagyaketu joined Karna on their chariots to pursue and capture Samba. Each one of them was a Maharathi, those who could fight alone with many thousands of men. The powerful Samba was also in this league. Despite the fact he was outnumbered, Samba was not deterred when he saw the six powerful warriors in pursuit. Just as a lion stands adamant in the face of other ferocious animals, he fearlessly took his bow.
Why are you running away? Stop if you dare!
When challenged to stand and fight, Kshatriya cannot
refuse. Yes, we will indeed!
After halting his chariot, Samba was immediately covered by showers of arrows fired by all six men. Furious with such a transgression of warrior code, Samba counteracted their attack and simultaneously killed the six opposing charioteers, along with their horses. Meanwhile, he shot one arrow at each of the Maharathis.
I'm impressed.
Remarkable. He truly is a great Kshatriya.
Enough! Let us arrest him!
Their next attack, while four of the Maharathis killed Samba's horses, another managed to cut the string of his bow. Samba was left with no choice but to leave his now useless chariot and was overpowered.
The audacity! To snatch my daughter from beneath my nose. Tie him up.
After separating Lakshmana from Samba, the six Maharathis triumphantly entered Hastinapur with their captive. Meanwhile, the great sage Narada immediately carried the news to the Yadu dynasty and Dwarka.
Six Maharatis?
We must have revenge.
This is an outrage.
We should attack them.
We must do something
that's
now.
That's contrary to all the principles of warfare.
We should attack.
We should attack them.
Wait. Instead of resorting to violence, let me go there and observe the situation. If I can induce the Kurus to release Sambar, then bloodshed could be avoided.
Well spoken.
I think that's an excellent idea, Balaram.
Indeed.
A perfect idea.
Lord Balaram immediately arranged for a chariot. Accompanied by Uddhava, learned brahmanas, as well as elderly members of the Yadu dynasty, he resembled the moon shining in the clear sky amongst the stars. Reaching the outer precincts of the city, Lord Balaram stationed himself within a small encampment.
My dear Uddhava, please go and ask the leaders of the Kurus whether they want to fight the Yadus.
Uddhava rode into the city and met with Bhishmadev, Dhritarashtra, Dronacharya, and other leading Kurus, and offered them all due respect.
I have come to inform you that Lord Balaram has arrived outside the city gates.
Lord Balaram!
The Kurus, especially Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, were very pleased to hear the news, knowing that Lord Balaram was a well-wisher of their family. Immediately, they left their palace and went outside the gates to greet him.
Lord Balaram!
Welcome!
Welcome to Hastinapur.
Our fortune knows no limit.
We are honored by your presence.
According to their position, they welcomed Lord Balaram, offering him sweet preparations made with honey, flowers, flower garlands scented with sandalwood pulp, and many cows.
Our palace is now your home.
Because all of them recognized Lord Balaram as the supreme personality of Godhead, they bowed their heads before him with utmost respect.
My dear friends, I have come as a messenger from the all-powerful King Ugrasena. Therefore, please, hear me carefully and carry out his order. King Ugrasena knows very well that your warriors fought improperly with the virtuous Sambar. We have all heard what happened, but we are not unduly agitated, because we are your relations. I don't think that we should disturb our friendship over this incident. So with the intent of peace and goodwill, please, release Sambar and bring him before me along with Lakshmana.
Hearing Lord Balaram speaking in this way, the leaders of the Kurus became somewhat perturbed.
Because they are relatives, we have given them the chance to live and dine with us. Now they are taking advantage of our generosity and bite the hand that feeds them.
It is clear that he is influenced by the age of Kali. Otherwise, how could he be speaking so insolently?
We have allowed the Yadus to use the royal insignias and everything befitting the royal order.
It appears that the shoes befitting the feet wish to rise to the top of the head where the helmet is worn.
But they are so shameless that they think they can lord it over us.
What's the use in feeding a snake with milk if it merely increases its venom?
Even the demigods depend upon our goodwill. What to speak of the Yadus?
By these words, the Kurus deeply insulted Lord Balaram. Continuing to speak in this unmannerly way, they returned to their city. Although Lord Balaram patiently heard their words and observed their behavior, from his appearance it was clear that he was burning with rage. His bodily features became so agitated that it was difficult to even look at him.
If a man becomes too proud because of opulence, beauty, material advancement, or aristocratic background, he no longer wants a peaceful life, but becomes belligerent towards all others. It's useless to give such a person good instruction. On the contrary, one should seek out the ways and means to punish him. How impudent they are! I really wanted to arrange a peaceful settlement. Despite the feelings of all the other members of the Yadu dynasty, including Lord Krishna himself, they were preparing to attack the entire kingdom of the Kurus, but I pacified them and took the trouble to travel here in an attempt to settle the affair without violence. It's obvious they don't want a peaceful settlement. with great pride. They have repeatedly insulted me by blaspheming the Yadus. In the past, the Yadus have commandeered the opulences of heaven and used them as their own. And despite this, they still believe we are in no position to instruct them. Lord Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead himself, cannot sit on the royal throne. The Kurus must be taught a lesson. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet is worshipped even by the demigods. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune as well as myself, are simply parts of his spiritual identity. Is he also not fit to use the royal insignia? The leaders of the Kurus have become mad with their worldly opulence. Everything they said was full of pride. I have to bring them to their senses. If I do not take action, it will be negligence on my part. I shall destroy their entire dynasty!
Lord Balaram was so furious that it looked as if he would burn the entire cosmic creation to ashes. Taking his plow in his hand, he forcefully began to strike the surface of the earth. The entire city of Hastinapur trembled and began to separate from its very foundations. With unlimited strength, Lord Balaram began to drag the city towards the flowing river Ganges. Hearing the howling of the citizens and realizing that their city was about to be vanquished, the terrified Kurus brought Lakshmana and Sambhar quickly to the gates of the city. With folded hands, the leaders of the Kurus prostrated themselves before the enraged Lord Balaram.
We have come before you to beg your pardon. O all-powerful Lord, you are the original controller, and everything in this world is like your toy. You hold all the planetary systems upon your head. Our dear Lord, you have appeared on this earth in your transcendental body just for our benefit. Please forgive us.
O Lord Balaram, O Supreme Lord, please consider us most foolish that we were unaware of your inconceivable potencies.
Please be merciful upon us and grant us your protection.
My dear Lord, you are the reservoir of all pleasure. You are above anger, envy, and enmity. Whatever you do, even in the form of chastisement, is auspicious for the entire world. Therefore, we are offering our respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the unlimited, supreme personality of Godhead.
Thank you for your prayers. You have nothing more to fear.
When Sambha forced Lakshmana upon his chariot, the six Maharatis retaliated simply in order to test his strength. They were pleased to see that Sambha was certainly a befitting husband. When Lord Balaram came personally to settle the matter and ordered them to set Sambha free, the Kurus had also been superficially indignant, just to see Lord Balaram exhibit his inconceivable strength. With great pleasure, they gave Lakshmana to Sambha, and the whole matter was resolved. Duryodhana, being very affectionate towards his daughter, had her married in great splendor. For her dowry, he gave 12,000 elephants, 10,000 horses, and 6,000 chariots, which dazzled like the sun. He also gave 1,000 maidservants decorated with golden ornaments. Lord Balaram, acting as guardian of the bridegroom, happily accepted the dowry on their behalf. Accompanied by the newly married couple, he started for Dwarka. Triumphantly, they returned home. The former city of Hastinapur was located at the present site of New Delhi. The river Yamuna, which flows through New Delhi, was formerly known as the Ganges. During the rainy season, part of New Delhi becomes inundated with her waters. This reminds everyone today of Lord Balaram's threat to cast the city into the Ganges.